Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beeby doo!
I think it lined up good enough on my end.
I think we did too.
Boop, boop.
Hello,
anyways,
everybody.
Yeah, hello everybody. Welcome to episode 150 of American Brews and Tunes. 150.
Oh, that's like a, that's kind of like a milestone, right?
Yeah,
150. It's the,
what milestone would it be? The
it's the three quarters bicentennial 50 V. Wait, what is 50 in L? What is 100 M? In Roman numerals? M?
100 is C.
Okay, so it's
it might be M.
Is it M? M?
I don't remember.
So it's M and two C's, right?
Or you could just do M times 3.
M times 3, yep. That's exactly what this episode is. Episode M times 3.
Yeah,
here on American Brews and Tunes.
So that is what it is. On this episode, Jesse will be reviewing an album that I've recommended.
Yeah,
which is technically a traditional style episode, if you will.
Yeah, this is kind of we're kind of bringing it back to a traditional style format where Steve has recommended me an album, and I will talk about it, review it, kind of go over it, give some song recommendations, give my opinions on it. In general, talk about whatever the album's about life, about whatever else. And, of course, we'll be having some beverages, too.
That's true. That's the traditional style episode. And if it goes well, maybe we'll do it again next episode.
I mean, you know what? Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here, Steve.
That's why I said maybe.
If it goes well. I mean, of course it's going to go well.
But how well?
How well will it go? I don't know. We'll have to just jump in. We'll have to dive in and see.
We'll have to decide ourselves. What is the album that you will be reviewing this week, Jesse?
So this album that I'll be reviewing this week is called Death is a Warm Blanket by the band Microwave.
Oh,
I feel like you've recommended this album to me a while ago, like a long time ago,
probably like a year ago.
And I only just started listening to it like last month, and I'm really glad that I finally started listening to it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to change my recommendation because I knew you'd like it.
Yeah. Overall, just opening thoughts about this album. I think it's fantastic. I think it's an absolutely fantastic album. Every song is a banger. Musically, it's orchestrated really well. There's a nice energy, both lyrically and instrumentally. I think the way they fit certain effects into the songs, sometimes they use programmed drums, reverse snares, all these kind of cool little techniques all really come together to make a really cohesive sounding album. So I'm excited to dive into it, excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear about what you think about the album on a more granular level.
On a more granular level? What does that mean? not broad. Not a broad sweeping aspect of it. Okay.
Yeah. But before we get all granular and angular,
talking about every quarter note and whole note and rest that they chose to use.
And how many little delay pedals and overdrives.
That would be extremely granular. You'd be picking out every single grain of sand then.
But what kind of quarter-inch cables did he use on the record?
Exactly.
Plated with something, some kind of metal? I don't know.
What millimeter pick did they use for these guitar parts?
Probably
what kind of drumsticks did he use?
Probably that 0.7 millimeter.
Oh, absolutely. Who goes over 1 millimeter? Come on.
Yeah, not me.
Nobody.
Maybe a bass player?
Maybe, if they use picks.
Yeah, fools.
But anyway, let's get into some bevy talk,
shall we?
Yeah, for sure. So I've got today another sparkling water. For those who don't know, I'm still on the no drinking train.
You are on the wagon.
Yeah, on the wagon, as it were. But this time I've got kind of like a really cool sparkling water, a really BA one. It's a BAMF, as some might say. It is the brand Liquid Death. And if you've seen like their labeling, they go all out in kind of like the hardcore skull with like tendrils flying away from it sort of marketing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is a sparkling water. It's a tall boy sparkling water. It's in a 19.2 fluid ounce can. It says "Murder Your Thirst" on it, and the flavor is convicted melon instead of convicted felon. So,
so goofy.
I'm excited.
Let me tell you something, Jesse. I bought one of those once, a Liquid Death at a gas station, and I was ID'd.
Really?
Yeah, the cashier thought it was like a beer or something.
But you're like, this is just a water.
Yeah, she had to look at it. She's like, oh, okay. But it was like, because it kind of
really,
does.
That's really funny.
It, like the size of the can and the design, I could kind of see that though.
Yeah, absolutely. If you didn't know what it was, I would be like, oh, that's a tall boy. It's a beer, obviously. Yeah.
Now,
that's really funny.
I hope that you got some room on that wagon of yours, because this week I'm also having a sparkling water.
Oh, very nice. There's always room on the wagon, Steve.
Yes, at least two seats on that wagon for this week.
Yeah.
I'm not having a Liquid Death, however. I'm having a LaCroix.
Oh, a good old-fashioned LaCroix.
Very nice. But this one... this is a new flavor called, and I'm going to assume that this is French spelling.
Okay.
Pastique.
Pastique?
Pastique. Maybe. I don't know.
Pastique? Does it end with Q-U-E?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's probably pastique. Yeah, what's the flavor, though?
I took Spanish class, so to me it's pastique.
Pastique.
Watermelon.
Okay, watermelon.
Yeah, everybody's favorite flavor.
Do we both have watermelon flavors then, or is mine
yours? Maybe is yours watermelon, or is yours just like melon?
It just says melon.
So I feel like
it's like cantaloupe. There's no cantaloupe flavor.
I bet yours is more cantaloupe than watermelon. But I mean, there's only really one way to find out. Am I right?
Yes, we might as well crack them open and give them a shot.
Yes. I'm going to crack mine right now.
Me too. Oh, yeah.
Nice and bubbly.
Let me give it a smell. Yeah, it does smell more like cantaloupe.
Mine smells like a watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Oh, okay. Like
liquid Jolly Rancher watermelon flavor is what it smells like to me.
That could be good or bad. Let's be real.
If it tastes like a liquid Jolly Rancher, I'll be happy. But knowing that LaCroix's flavors are always a little more subdued than they smell, I don't think it will be that potent.
Okay. This liquid does smell pretty potent.
Shall we dive? I bet yours is going to be a little sweeter because I think they put agave in the Liquid Death, right?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. They put agave nectar, yeah.
So you get just a touch of the
sweet.
I just
looked at it, and it is they have watermelon and lime as natural flavors. So it is supposed to be watermelon.
Okay.
I'm kind of curious, because, like, this is like a fancy sparkling water, right? It's like, it's supposed to be, it's more pricey. It comes in single cans. If you want to buy, like, a 12-pack of it. It's like $18 pricey. Or something like that. So is it actually better? I'm curious as to see if it's actually better than like a LaCroix or something else.
Well, let's give the old cheers and find out, shall we?
Sounds good.
as we always say, on American Brews and Tunes. Down the fanciest, the fanciest of fancy melon sparkling water hatch.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mine is definitely essence of watermelon, but it's pretty good. This is actually one of the better LaCroix's I've had.
Hmm.
Nice. Would I get this again? Yes. Yes, I would. Hmm. And I have six more of them, so I will have it again.
Wow, I'm kind of like torn on this liquid death.
How so?
It's like, okay, so it tastes good, right? Like, it does taste nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know, dude. It's like, it's not carbonated enough, kind of. I feel like the agave, kind of like the sweetness, almost like neutralizes the sparkling aspect of it.
Interesting.
It still definitely is sparkling, and it does taste good.
But when you have like a LaCroix or like a Waterloo, they're like super bubbly.
Yeah. So like, am I gonna buy like a 12 pack of this? Probably not.
Yeah, I'm definitely same boat as you. I get those like for a fun occasion, like if I see one at Target or something, and I'm just want to have one for the heck of it. But yeah, I wouldn't buy a case of it. I don't think, because it's not cost effective for me.
Yeah, it really isn't. Yeah. But I'm going to enjoy this one, though.
There you go.
Yeah, it tastes good. There's like a little bit of a watermelon flavor, a little bit of lime. It tastes nice. So, yeah, I'll definitely enjoy this one.
Yeah, if you can find this watermelon or pastique LaCroix, you should try it sometime. See what you think. I think you might like this one.
I mean, I normally, like whenever I go to Target or another grocery store, I'll normally grab like a case of LaCroix or...
Yeah.
Or Waterloo, or this other one called, is it Nixie?
I've never heard of that one.
It's like a fancier, it's like a tier between Liquid Death price and LaCroix price.
Oh, so it's middle ground.
Yeah, it's like semi-high tier sparkling water.
Semi-high tier. All right. Anyway. If I see that one, maybe I'll give it a try.
For sure. But enough about sparkling water.
Well, this life is getting me chilly, so let's dive into some death as a warm blanket.
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess a little bit of background. There was an interview that the lead singer Nathan Hardy did with Alternative Press at Riot Fest. I believe released this album. Which was 2019. And one thing that he said kind of struck me, because I can definitely hear it all over this album. He said, "We never made a strict concept of what kind of genre or band we are trying to be. So we've always switched it up from song to song." And honestly, like even just first listened to this song, it has like so many different sounds on it. So many different, like the songwriting is kind of similar for each of them, but like their instrument choices, their way they structure the song, it varies enough to where each song sounds new and it sounds fresh, and it sounds like different from all the other ones. Like you can clearly tell when like Float to the Top is on, or Pull. Is on, or Mirrors, or Part of It. Like you can clearly pick out each song, but they meld together really well. A lot of the songs like lead into the next song, so like this whole album just as a whole really really flows like super well, and it's not like, it never sounds dry to the ear, it never sounds like it's stale either. So just like on that alone, like I have to give them props, because like that's like such a huge accomplishment for a song to sound fresh all the time throughout the entire 30 minutes and have it not be boring. Like I just think it's a fantastic album on that note alone.
I'd say, that's a pretty good accomplishment. Now, yeah. do you remember when we went to see the Wonder Years in Memphis?
Mm. I do remember that time, yes.
Microwave was the opener.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. They had just put out their album Stovall, and I remember thinking, these guys are good. and I never listened. I never listened to them again until shout out Matt Reynolds. My buddy Matt had said Microwave had just put out Death is a Warm Blanket. He's like, you should check it out. This is pretty good. And nice. as soon as I heard the first song, Leather Daddy, I went on their website and bought the album on vinyl. I said, I just knew I would like it.
Yeah. Man, you have good instincts then. Because like,
yeah.
After hearing one song, you bought it, and yeah, you definitely weren't wrong.
Well, it's that like descending arpeggio has like this weird, like half diminished like thing going on. I heard that, and I said, "Oh, these guys know what they're playing. Like they know what they're doing." I liked it.
Right.
Yeah. So I liked the album a lot, and I said you should listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I have, and I agree with you.
And here we are.
And here we are talking about it now. So musically, it's fantastic, I think. Lyrically, it's also pretty cohesive with what they choose to talk about in this album. And kind of how the themes lyrically kind of progress throughout the entire album, too. So it starts off, lyrically, I guess I'll just like give an overview of how I feel about it lyrically.
Sure.
I think it's cohesive. Lyrically, it's kind of a downer of an album for most of it.
Yeah, I'd agree.
A lot of talk about like poor relationships with alcohol and about like feeling like life is crap and like kind of like a cynical view or almost like a nihilistic point of view on life. But then at the end, he kind of like pulls it all kind of together and has like a little, it's almost like a slightly positive view on cynicism in a way. Like, that's what I would say. Like the whole album is like the whole album lyrically is as a whole, like it's kind of a downer, but it he also has like definitely. A nice spin to it as well at the end. So I guess with that, we'll just kind of jump into the tracks. Sure. Like you said, it starts off with track number one is Leather Daddy.
I love that song.
It is a great song, yeah. And this is a song where it kind of starts off pretty slow, like musically, but eventually it gets into that, like to the heavier sound that I kind of feel like they maybe are known for. I haven't really listened to many of their other songs.
Or this any of their album, other albums. This was album this kind of- definitely ups the heavy. They didn't really have like this screaming as much. They didn't have the chunky bass or like the super heavy guitars. I think they explored that a little bit more on this album.
So it's okay. So this album was kind of a departure for them sonically from their previous work.
It is for sure. Okay. In a good way, I would say, you'll have to check out their back catalog to decide for yourself. But,
Fair enough. But the whole, what I kind of gleaned from this song, like lyrically, is there's a line where he says, I don't know if we'll ever be sober again. Like he talks about, they used to be like weekend warriors. Like they would go drink on the weekends, but now it's becoming like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like every single day. And so like, maybe another reason why I like this album is because like I can relate to it quite a bit. Having been like addicted to alcohol. So like I can completely understand like their point of view and like why they're singing about this. So that's a great start to the album. It starts off slow, gets heavier, which like a lot of these songs have that similar theme to them musically. They start off kind of slow. There might be a quiet part, arpeggiated guitars, or like a lead line that has a lot of different effects layered on it. Mm-hmm. And then it gets kind of like a heavier, chunkier part of the song. And that's like the general outline, I feel, of most of these songs. But
yeah,
sprinkled in like different types of genres like for instance, in the next song, Float to the Top, the first 30 seconds of it, like, almost give me like a Nirvana type vibe to it.
100%. It sounds like it could be like, yep,
like a weird, like, kind of,
it sounds like straight out of the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's just for the first 30 seconds of the song, though.
Yeah.
And then after that, they go into, like, the really hard, like, really heavy choruses that are super catchy and just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. It's like that line at the end of the chorus, "My friends don't sink, they float to the top."
Yeah, yeah. But again, like, more themes of drinking, like you're talking about waking up in a wet bed with two empty fifths and a mouthful of chalk, and oof, like all these other themes of just like wanting to, I don't know, like he says, like, can't forgive, can't forget, can't wear those pants like I used to, can't yell as loud as I used to yell. Mm-hmm. So like he's like, I don't know, maybe a tinge of like regret or like wishing that you could go back. Talks about giving up on himself a lot. So, like, again, kind of like a downer lyrically, but makes up for it with like how catchy the whole song is in general.
Yeah, it's definitely a catchy song.
So is the next track. It's called Death is a Warm Blanket, but they...
Title track.
Yeah, it's a title track, but they... what's it called when you just use the first letter?
Abbreviate?
D-I-A-W-B.
Oh, no, not abbreviate. It's a, what do you call,
it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Same. It's a,
acronym.
It's not, acronym, yes.
Yeah.
For some reason, I kept thinking acrostic, like an acrostic poem.
Acrostic?
Because with those ones.
I've never heard of that. What is that?
With those, it's like where you take, a word, and each letter is like a sentence or a phrase.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's not at all an acronym, but I was, that's, for some reason I was like, it's definitely maybe acrostic, but I don't think
acrostic.
So.
Acrostic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, either way, the song is an acronym for Death is a Warm Blanket. This song is a lot faster than the previous songs. It starts off really heavy, starts off fast.
Yeah, it's got consistent, like, such a, dynamically.
Yeah. It's got such like a noisy, like dirty, crunchy sound, mm-hmm, to the entire thing. And I think it just sounds so amazing. And this is kind of like it's the
very
song
frantic.
Thematically. Yeah, thematically it seems like he's like self-aware of like his problematic relationship with drinking. Like, he talks about the bottom shelf being a black hole. He talks about rock and rye knocking him out. And then, like, he gets to, like, a refrain where he says, "I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want it." So, mm-hmm, like, he's, like, it seems like he's, like, fairly self-aware of, like, the predicament that he's in or his tendencies. So, like, he knows, like, what's going on in his life, and he knows that, like, it seems like, this is all just my personal speculation. Like, I couldn't really find an interview with him talking about what songs actually mean. Maybe I just didn't look in the right places, but...
I mean, I'm sure it's up for a definite interpretation. Like, on a lot of their older albums, they have songs that are more storytelling, that they're...
Okay.
Definitely isn't as much room for interpretation, but I don't think there's as much of that on this album. I think it's kind of wide open.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just kind of inferring or guessing as to what they mean with these song, with these tracks, with these lyrics. But that's also a fantastic song. The next song is called "The Brakeman Has Resigned."
Nice.
And this song starts with like a really cool drum beat, and leads with like a like screaming that's kind of like juxtaposed with the next part of the song, which is like a clear, soft, really melodic, like lower register melodic singing. So like you have like these two huge like opposites, like yin and yang. Like you have like a really loud, really fast, heavy. And
like a juxtaposition?
Really, yeah, yeah, juxtaposed. Yeah, with like the clear, soft singing. And then once they get to like the chorus, it gets even faster. Like the drum speed gets faster and they change the rhythm slightly. I think the song's in like 6/8 time, it seems like. Or
this
in like
one,
3/4. Or at least
I think this one is a strong 6/4, I would say.
6/4, okay.
Because it doesn't have like the triplet feel like a 6/8, but the count, like yeah, it's definitely yeah, yeah. like on a... The way that the drums play, it's definitely like on a quarter note, but 6 beats for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's pretty, pretty cool choice. It's got a cool
yeah.
feel.
Yeah, and it's like a really simple feeling of like they go 1 and 4, 5, 6. So like that's like the, in the chorus, the drums like kind of have that beat. And then on top of the drums, they kind of like combine the screaming and the clear soft singing, and they layer mm-hmm. on like this really cool lead guitar part that has like reverb and chorus on it. And they just like, this song is a fantastic example of how they can build a song and really make mm-hmm. it sound like a really, make it sound like really thick, I guess. So yeah,
this is one of my favorites on the album. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely is one of mine, too. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to choose a favorite.
It is. And, like, at 10 songs that span, like, a half an hour, it's... The whole album kind of is, like, over before you know it when you put it on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's actually such a good point. Like, the album is so short, like, compared to, like, a lot of the albums that I listen to, which are maybe, like, 45 to an hour long. Mm-hmm. It is like a really quick listen. It's like a super quick listen, which is really nice. Kind of refreshing.
Nice change of pace.
Yeah. The next track is called Hate TKO, which I guess TKO is technical knockout, right?
I think so, yeah. Like boxing or MMA or something, right?
Yeah.
Or Mortal Kombat. I don't know.
Mortal Kombat, yeah. Any type of fighting. So, Hate TKO? I don't know. But this song, I looked on Lyric Genius, and some people have speculated that this song is about, like, certain bands that are kind of in that emo or hardcore or however you mm-hmm. want to describe, like, the genre that Microwave is in. How some of the bands in that genre have kind of like been called out for like sexual misconduct and inappropriate behavior.
Because they started popping up all over the place like after the Me Too movement, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like one of the lyrics is, "The last of our scene are circled with pitchforks." So like someone... and again, like, I don't know if this is actually talking about that specific thing or if they're referencing something else being circled around with pitchforks and yeah, so they talk about kill off all your heroes as well. So like a lot of people have said like, oh well, that's like in reference to a band like Brand New or like some other band who's been accused of that. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but
Anti-Flag? Did you know that?
Explain. No, I didn't.
Yep. There, one of the singers was accused, and he was like a very outspoken like feminist. So it's kind of like, ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's huh. He clearly did not practice what he preached. But that's neither here nor there. It's just... That's been on my mind lately.
Just anecdotal,
yeah.
Oh, it's a band that you really like, right?
Yeah, it's a Pittsburgh band. I like, you know, like the Hometown Heroes, and then it's more than a fall from grace for that guy. Jeez.
Yeah. Well.
But back to the Microwave song, though.
Yeah.
I like this one because it's coming like right after the brakeman has resigned. This mm-hmm. one, it might be in the same, I don't know if it's in the same key, but it definitely like transitions into that song, and it's like slower and like has that cool little drum beat. Like yeah. it starts out with like the fix, what's broken, like right, and it's just uh-huh. like, it's just like, I don't know, I'm amped up from the last song, and then this kind of takes you down into this like kind of like a vibe almost.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's a really, I don't know, it's almost like a, like the bass has like a fuzz pedal on it or something at the beginning.
Oh,
or
yeah.
It's like or it's like a keyboard or something like that that's like holding that low note.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the drums come in kind of slow. So
really good song.
Yeah, just another good example of how they sequence their album and the orchestration and how it mm-hmm. the album never feels stale. But on to the next song called Pull, which is another great song. it starts with like an arpeggiated clean guitar. And so this is where like, I was talking about like the reverse snare coming in earlier. Like this is a part where I at least maybe it's not reverse snare, but this is where they use a little bit more.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It might be. I'm not sure, but I definitely know exactly the sound you're talking about.
Yeah. And this is another great example of them combining something very light and very like clear singing, and then transitioning into like a heavy part.
Mm-hmm.
And this song kind of introduces almost like a theme of hope, or of like acknowledgement that he's in a bad spot, and that he's talking about somebody who's pulling him back. Like the first line of the song is, "I never wanted this."
Mm-hmm.
He talks about it waiting. He's waiting on it to get easier. And then he says, "You're pulling me back. You're pulling me back down." So like there are like these like little like sprinklings of like hope or like a good point of view in the lyrics that he writes, which I really like. I really like that he has those aspects to yep. it. And then at the end of the song, he says, "You don't have to be happy to be loved," which is like a really interesting line to kind of end the song with.
Yeah, that is kind of like a different sentiment that.
Yeah, like I see
portray.
That. Yeah, I see that in like a really positive light.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. And so, like, whoever he's talking about in this song, like, I imagine that they made him feel that in some way. I would assume, anyway. But yeah, this, just one more note on this song musically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they use that, they combine the clean and the heavy parts so well. Like, they take aspects of the clean part of the song, and then let's like layer it on top of like the heavier, the screaming, the heavier guitars. And it just mixes so well.
It is. They definitely knew the sound that they wanted and
yeah.
I mean, executed it properly.
Yeah. Like, you know how you always talk about like, oh, there's just like an moment. Like,
that's it.
That just sounds nice. Mm. Yeah. Like just like whenever they introduce these two themes and then they combine them, in like yeah. the third section of the song, it's just like, ah, oh, it's just, that's so nice. Like, well done. Well done, guys. So that this song leads into almost like the epilogue to the song, or like a postscript to the song, like a little PS,
like interlude, postlude.
Yeah, postlude, interlude. It's called Loves Will Tear Us Apart. Loves with an apostrophe S.
Yeah, I'm saying that now. I always thought it was Love Will Tear Us Apart. Like
yeah,
the that's a Joy Division song. Do you ever listen to them?
Hmm.
They were mm-hmm. that kind of like a post-punk new wave type band. I think they only had one album, but their big song was Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Okay. Maybe they had to make it Loves Will Tear Us Apart.
Maybe.
Not name it the same thing. I don't know.
To make it different, I guess. What's he say in the song? If the shoe fits, right?
Yeah, if the shoe fits, then the shoe fits. Except for this falling backwards, and you swallow it, and you swallow it. It's never going to get better than this, than this. Yeah, so kind of like it goes back to that. Yeah, but it's like quiet, and so it's just like a minute song to kind of, it seems like to wrap up that portion of it. I don't know, maybe to wrap up the ideas of Pull. But then it gets to Mirrors.
And they launch you back into it.
Yeah, which is one of my, I would say, second favorite song on the album, for sure.
It might be mine, too. It's there's hard. Definitely, it's difficult. There's a whammy pedal on this song, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested. I have one comparison, or like one thing that I thought of whenever listening to this song, and I'm curious if you've also, if you've heard it as well. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm not sure what it could be.
This sounds like a '90s, like late '90s rock song to me. Like the chord progression reminds me, like, this is gonna sound maybe weird, but the chorus of the song "Even Flow" by Pearl Jam. Like I can hear that chorus fitting over this song.
Even flow.
Yep. Every time that I hear it, I hear Even Flow.
Okay.
Like whenever. You'll have to go back to listen to it.
Yeah.
And see if you actually hear it. But
I can maybe make the comparison in my head, but I have to I got to go back and like actually think about it.
Yeah. It's only just that one, like right when they start singing, the first line, like it just reminds me of that song so much for some reason.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah. But there's one part in this song though that just sounds so good, like instrumentally.
Is it near the end?
It's after the first verse. I'm trying to remember exactly where it comes in. But it's like this really after the screaming part. When they say, and you find everything you wanted, is it everything you hate? And then it goes to like this instrumental part. And it's like this lead guitar line that's just like saturated with saturated with like reverb and delay. And it sounds so good.
Yeah, they do a lot of really good guitar work on this song.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part's like the outro when that guitar's going like a whip, whip, whip. It's kind of like hard to I think they bring that back a couple times.
Talking about it.
But that's the moment for me when I hear that, I'm like, oh yes.
Yeah. Like whenever I've been listening to this song in my car and it gets to that point when they it's like the same type of guitar line that's at the end. I always am just like head bobbing, like this is so good. So good.
Yeah, this song's like it's a ripper.
It absolutely is, yeah. And this song thematically, like with the lyrics, it definitely still has that tinge of pessimism. But there's also like this is where you kind of see like a hint of like optimism or hope for what could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like he talks about, he says like time hasn't been kind. It's been building up under our eyes, but we've still got time. We'll figure it out. He's like acknowledging like how kind of crappy he feels life has been, but fully acknowledges that we can obviously get through it. Like we can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that song is definitely one of my favorites, and that leads into the next track, which is called Carrie. which is the penultimate track of the album. And this song begins with like, I think it's like programmed drums, like a really straight time beat with the bass, like just
right?
Yeah. Yep. And then this song reminds me of Bayside.
I could see that.
That's like the vibe the melody gives me. Is maybe like a very like Bayside vibe.
More like the choruses kind of have like a, yep, a Bayside-y type.
Our eyes roll back.
Yeah.
Like that sort of melody choice.
Yeah, I think that's something Bayside would do.
Uh-huh, for
100%.
Sure. Yes. So like that's kind of that's the general feel that I get from this song.
And there's
which nothing, is nice.
Nothing again, really like, heavy on this song. It kind of like is like a break almost from some of the heavy stuff.
Exactly. Like this is another example of like the diversity in sound that they have on this album.
Yeah.
Like it's not just all heavy or not just all quieter. Like they have this song where it feels completely different than everything else, but it's still super catchy, and they just do a really great job with it.
Absolutely.
But this song, sorry, I'm just looking at my notes here trying to find this song again. It seems to be a song like about, like he mentions feeling like he's found his niche in the world. Like one lyric he said, I found my niche in this pile of shit. So like he still has like this.
Still cynic, like pessimistic still like, and cynical.
Yeah, like, no, it's just all crap. It's just all terrible. But at least I found my place in it. Yeah, but then this, like that whole idea of like finding your niche in it kind of tracks into the last song, which is my favorite song on the album. It's called Part of It. And this song is vastly different than the rest of it as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's fairly quiet. There's not really a whole lot. Like, it does get heavier, but not, like, screaming. It's more like a ballad, kind of. But not really a ballad.
I'd say it's ballady compared to the rest of the album.
Yeah, ballady compared to the rest of the album.
I wouldn't call it a ballad.
Yeah, for sure.
It's definitely like contemplative with that's like that the way the melody goes. It's kind of like slower and more somber.
Yeah, and they also bring back like the arpeggiated single note lines.
Yeah,
in the guitar.
It's really kind of like a pretty sounding song too, I think.
Yeah, it really is. I guess I shouldn't say ballad. It's like a. This song is like it climaxes really well, like it builds really well. It's just a really well structured song that like I can see like when they get to that climax section, I can see people like in the crowd being like yeah, like raising their fists, like yeah. I don't know. At least that's what I imagine if I went to one of their shows. But anyway, so lyrically, I think that this song is kind of like a culmination of all the previous songs and kind of like his final note on how he's feeling or how he's doing or however you want to say that. So all this whole time, like he's been talking about how like crappy life is or like how terrible it is and all of this. And then at the beginning of this song, he says, if you only look at what you want to see, you can see whatever you want to believe. You can make your mantra love all equally and hate everyone else that disagrees. He's been talking this whole album about like how shitty life is and about how he's not like a fan of a lot of it. And then he says like, well, you can see whatever you want to believe. So like, I'm just like, man, like just see the good then, you know, see the good in life then.
Yeah.
Like, I know it might suck sometimes, but...
You got to try to see it the other way.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll believe that.
Yeah, and I feel like he is saying that in this song. Like at the end of the song, he says, "I'm resigned to be a part of everything. I want you to know when it falls apart that I did my part. That part of it was me." So like it seems like it almost is kind of like this like cynical, like, well, whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. And you can choose to believe whatever you want. But I just want to know that whenever all is said and done, like I did my part, like I tried, that like I don't know, like fulfilled.
Yeah.
That yeah. part of it, I guess.
It's a good way to leave the album, I think, on the end.
Yeah.
Thematically, I think so too. From where everything else is. Now, I may be slightly wrong on this, but I believe that this, and I think I got some of this from Matt Reynolds, but I think this album wasn't as well received by like their longtime fans.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think they weren't a fan of the change in sound, like the heavier,
okay,
kind of grungy, like more intense sound. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they play as much from, like, they definitely still play songs from this album live. Like I've seen them do, they've played Leather Daddy, Mirrors, and I've seen the Breakman has resigned.
I would assume they would play Float to the Top.
They definitely play that one.
Yeah.
But I've seen them like right after they put this album out, and then I've seen them further beyond that, and they definitely play a little bit more of their older stuff.
Yeah.
But I also like their older stuff too, so it's not a bad thing.
I gotta listen to some of their older stuff to compare
to. Just go back chronologically in like reverse order, so listen to their next oldest album and then their first one. But I think this is probably my favorite record of theirs as a whole, but there are songs off of their other albums that I like better than songs on this album, so it's definitely worth checking out. But this album's so good. I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah, I was like, whenever I first listened to it, whenever I texted you and said like, this album's great, that was after my first listen.
Yeah, that's when you know it's going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, dude, this album is so good. Like, it's a banger. It's absolutely amazing. But anyway, just like a final thought on it. Like, after, like, I'm curious as to, like, how he is now. Like, after hearing this album and, like, all the like, what he speaks about or what he talks about. It's like, man, I hope he's doing well. I hope he's doing okay.
Well, like they got a new album coming out in a couple weeks, or maybe like in a month.
Oh, really?
Nice. So maybe that'll give you a clue of how he's doing. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I've only heard a couple of the singles they put out, but I think you'd like the song called "Circling the Drain."
Okay.
So just check that out, and I'm excited to see, because I don't know, maybe we'll get a feel for how he is or where he is in life based on the songs. Yeah.
They're coming to Minneapolis soon.
I'd recommend seeing them, because they're very tight live, and they dial in their tones like
it's
like spot on from the record.
It's I think it's on a weekday though, and I have to where are they coming? Where I'm looking at.
Yeah. That's Atlanta. Growing up, I guess, you know.
That's a bummer. Yeah, May 14th they're playing, and it's a Tuesday.
Ugh.
So, well, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe I'll take the day off.
Yeah, anything is possible.
It would be worth going to, I think. But anyway, though, like, overall, I think this album is fantastic. I would recommend anyone listening to it, even if you're not into, like, hardcore or like heavier sounding streaming albums.
It's pretty diverse. I think it's got something for everybody.
Yeah, I feel like they mix in quite a few different things to make the album feel fresh all the way throughout. So,
yeah,
for sure worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what, Jesse? I think this episode went so good that I think I'll review an album next week that you will recommend.
Oh, okay.
And when I say next week, I mean in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Man, I feel like we've already talked about what album you're gonna listen to, because I probably recommended it to at a similar time when you recommended me this album. So it was probably like a year ago.
Let me just see if I can read your mind. And
which album is it?
I think it is One More Time by Blink-182.
Oh, close. Well, not close, but...
Not real close. It's The Stage by Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, The Stage by Avenged Sevenfold, yeah.
Upon the stage!
Oh, man. Get ready to go to the opera with this album.
Oh, boy. I'm excited to dive into that and give you a full review next time. In 2 weeks, but let's say we finish our bevies and sign off, shall we?
That sounds great.
As we always say on American Brews,
Final thoughts on your drink, on your sparkling water?
It's a little less carbonated than before, but still good.
Okay. I feel like this one is just as carbonated, so that's a plus.
That is a plus. That's the only downside I think about sparkling waters is they don't really hold onto their carbonation for too terribly long. Like if you let it sit out for a while, you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah. I feel like this one has done a pretty good job of staying sparkling. So
it's all that liquid job. Death.
Yeah. Great job, liquid death. Fantastic work. I like it.
Especially since you got the big can, it's kind of nice to have... a lasting carbonation. Yeah.
Exactly. Can you imagine you get like halfway through and then the carbonation is just gone?
I mean, I can't imagine, and it sounds terrible.
It would be such a bummer.
Yeah. But as we always say on American Brews and Tunes, down the Melanie Hatch.
The Melon E. Hatch.
Yes, not somebody with that particular name, but...
yeah, not somebody with the name Melanie.
Of and pertaining to melon.
Yeah. Fantastic.
All right. Once again, my name is Stephen Johnston.
And my name is Jesse Titus.
Yeesh.
Thanks for listening. Hope you're all doing well. Have a great day.
So live your life.
Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beebity.